guys, coming to you live from the Frozen Hero Bat Patio, throwing it down in the East Bank District in Bossier, East Bank Mafia, representing Hard, joined by Bill Phillips of Gulf Coast Poker. Also want to thank Chris Austin, CA, holding down the fort, and the Two Johns at Steak and Seafood Studio. 318-595-1007, the Randolph Smith RCM Realty text line, if you have a text in. I know we got a lot of big fantasy championships coming up this week, starting with that triple header tomorrow. Bill Phillips now joins us. I want to thank Gene D for joining us in the opening segment. Also, it just aired my off-the-bench segment with T-Bob Hebert and Jordy Claude on ESPN Baton Rouge. I can't really say enough to thank those guys. It's my third year doing it. That's really helped Bill a lot of stuff. Just that show is so big. They're the biggest sports morning show in the state. And T-Bob, obviously, coming off the Bobby Hebert name train. Just great dude, fun out there guy, and glad to be a part of that. All right, we're now joined by Bill Phillips. We're going to talk a little bit of poker. Bill, you got a pretty good poker year yourself here, huh?
Yeah.
Made the final table at NOLA.
Yeah, I made the final table at NOLA. Had a couple other hits here and there. But not playing nearly as much as I'd like to be playing, so it's kind of...
Well, you're a family man as well, though, right?
Correct.
Yes. So how old are your wife and kids?
My wife, I won't say on air.
But... No, that's fair. She's 25, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's a little weird. She's probably 32 if you have a 12-year-old kid.
She looks 27.
There you go.
My oldest son's 10, daughter is 8, and my youngest is 6.
Wow, 3.
Yes, handful.
Handful to say the least. Well, you must have a good wife. You're up here playing some poker, sports, Gulf Coast poker. I know that's probably hard juggling that.
Oh yeah, it's really tough. In fact, I met an activity today at my kid's school, which they both had speaking parts in a Christmas play. So I'm looking forward to seeing the video on that. So sad to miss that.
But at least we live in a day and age though, where you can video and document literally every breath you take and step you make in life.
Absolutely, that's true. And I'm sure there's plenty of people with cell phones up there getting every mile of it. So.
Awesome. We're gonna come up here, play some poker with us for Holiday 400. You'll be back for Christmas and New Year's. And I kind of always look at, I don't know if you look at poker like this, I feel like every year is like a new journey. I'm real big into the new year. And it always starts, when you think of Southern poker, you think of January. I mean, Beau Rivage, Million Dollar Heater, Durant as a World Series Circuit, World Series Tunica, you know, really just gets things rolling at the very beginning every year. And I'm kind of feeling 2020 poker.
Yeah, do you have goal set? I know some people are like, I want to do X amount, or it's kind of hard to like try and plot out your wins, which is, you know, pretty much impossible. But some people maybe, I want to play X amount, or how do you?
I look at it. Okay, that's funny. I'm glad you asked this. I actually have a theory where I look at it as poker season from whenever, basically when LSU and the Saints are done with the playoffs and the postseason. Poker season is like late January to Labor Day when Winstar has a 2,500 or 2K, whatever, it's 1,500 this year. But the Winstar Labor Day is the end of it. So I kind of look at it a little differently than most. Because I feel like, you know, you look at sports, you guys play what, 6-month seasons, 8-month seasons, 5-month seasons, they get a break.
Right.
I think people burn themselves out of poker doing 12 months and never taking a break. And so for my radio thing, sports radio is all about football season. And I call airline games down here, you know, football is everything. So I kind of look at it as poker season and it's football season. I kind of, at least that's my current theory.
Uh-huh.
And then when I look at next year, I mean, we've got some great tournaments weekly here at the Horseshoe. You know, we've got a $80 buy-in, $40 rebuy Monday night. We have a 110 Wednesday and $250 every Saturday. And my big thing next year is I'm not going to say – I agree with what you said. I don't want to put a dollar amount on it. I think that's dumb. But I'm going to rebuild my online role so I can play the big Sunday stuff again. And I'm going to travel for South Main. But I'm not traveling for the 400 re-entries or any of the stuff that I think doesn't make sense as far as travel.
It's amazing how many players I've talked to that's kind of readjusting their focus on like main events or deep stack tournaments and maybe less of these re-entries, which is a popular topic in the poker world right now.
My thing with it is just we have a 250 buy-in on Saturday here with 60 people that I can find on the table consistently and make money. Those 400 re-entries, especially in Oklahoma, yeah, they're great. They get 3,000 people, they get 2,000 people. It's so easy to get 90th, and it's so hard to win.
Sure.
I mean, that's those re-entries. It always like shocks me. I'll look up and go, oh, man, I'm down to 100 in this thing. And you're like, it seems like that would be tough to beat 1,900 people. It's really not, but it's getting from 100 to 5th. That's the problem. And
yeah.
I always crap out somewhere in there. And I don't think, if you're a good cash game player, it's worth it. But as far as, you know, you travel to play a 400 with 3,000 people and you're paying hotels, you know, all that stuff, I would rather just stay here, play online, play live, and then just pick my spot. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
You talked about burnout. I was thinking every year in the World Series, me and some of my friends who are here for this Holiday 400 at the Horseshoe, they were talking about getting a house and the perks of having like a support group in a house and spreading out your tournament schedule versus maybe going by yourself for like a week and just treating it like a business trip. There's pluses and minuses either way.
That's a fun one to ask about. I actually lived in a house. Was like I was the worst folk. We had a house of 10 of us, and I was the worst player. I mean, we had a house one summer with TK, Jake Baisley, David Diaz, Jacob Notkin, John Dolan, Tyler Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just an all-star team. I mean, I literally thought I was the worst player in the house. And I mean, I think, you know.
That's a pretty tough line.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good at poker.
Yeah.
You know, summer Diaz won a bracelet.
Okay.
Shout out to TK. He's right now in the WPT.
I believe it. 22 left. Yeah, Tim. Oh, TK, one of the best players. I mean, just unbelievable. And Ted Strong is his table presence too.
Yeah.
You know, his table presence is kind of. You know, he'll get you on edge.
It's funny. I've actually played more with him in the last year and a half at all these different places. You know, not local. He used to live in New Orleans. I don't think I ever played with him. Played with him in Vegas. Played with him at multiple times in Vegas. Played with him at Beau Rivage. Yeah, man, he's pretty intense.
Yeah, he is intense for sure. And, but yeah, he's torn it up the last few years for sure. I wish him luck in that 10K. We're referring to the 10K World Poker Tour, the Bellagio in Vegas, which is a fascinating tournament every year because anybody that's having winning years, you get the 10K receipt at the end of the year for taxes.
Yeah.
So if you've had a winning year, you can go out there and bust the 10K and you get 4K rate back on the entry fee. It's a sneaky thing. And that's why you see huge prize pools. And I think it's like 1.5 million the first usually.
It is massive. I hadn't thought about that angle of it.
No, that's always why I was mad at. Like, if I have a good year, like I always fire in December because you get the rate back. I'll be main too.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to pay anyway, so you might as well. I don't know. It's an interesting theory, but I think it's...
No, you're right about that.
It's got a good angle to it, but I'm looking at next year though. I'm excited. You know, I want to come up. I know y'all do. I want to try to make one of y'all's Philadelphia tournaments.
It's great, man. We got 150K guaranteed the first weekend, 150K guaranteed the second weekend. Price point first weekend is the 250. Price point is about 850 the second weekend. And man, it's good action in the middle of Mississippi. Locals are fun to play with, so to speak, and it's worth it.
Yeah, our buddy, our good friend, who's a good friend of the radio show, and a buddy of mine who's the same year at Ole Miss as me, Mikey Monahan, is coming over here later today. They need to put his picture on the wall. And when it comes to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Tunica, and Biloxi, I always joke about it. It's like a home underdog in football. The man protects his home field. You do not win on his home turf. I mean, it's crazy. What he's done there, and I'm glad to see him coming over to Bossier later. He'll be a part of the Holiday 400. Certainly look forward to seeing him. But I like another thing about Philadelphia. I like it's kind of the middle of nowhere, so they're pretty cool about rooms and food and comps.
Oh yeah, travel rink is very inexpensive. It's definitely worth the trip because you can basically play poker and only spend money on poker. You can get most of your food, most of your rooms for nothing.
Well, that's one of the things I do love about being here with Bossier. You know, Nolan obviously is a little. But it's fun. We got a bunch of stuff. You know, we've got not just casinos here in the middle of nowhere. We got this great East Bay area where we are right now, which I think is doing a lot for the community. I think Shreveport, I've enjoyed living here a lot more in the 4 years. I mean, I really like it. It's home for me now. And so I kind of think it's fun to travel here because you got some other stuff you can do. But granted, obviously, in New Orleans, that's the king of that.
Yeah, it's almost too much, though, at times in New Orleans.
Nope.
Trying to focus on the poker.
That's what got me down there was I didn't grind enough hours at Arrows. I'd play 10 or 20 hours a week when I need to play 40 because I'd go see George Porter's Maple Leaf on Monday night or Rebirth Tuesday. I just kept getting it and be like, man, do I feel like sitting in this 1-3 no limit game where I feel like I'm on it. Rocking, and unfortunately, the answer was not poker when I was down there. But Harrison always doing great games, right?
Oh my gosh, it's got to be one of the best places to play. No cap on the buy-ins, the games get really deep, you can get in for pretty inexpensive.
The thing about Harris Nola, too, that I always talk about that's so fun is because it's the only big the game in town. You get I mean, I don't know about you. I've got these crazy celebrity hand histories. Because you can have actors or sports players, or you never know who you're going to play with. I mean, I've had hand histories with Michael Phelps in there, T.I., the rapper, Ray Liotta, the actor, you know, Tony Parker and Tim Duncan used to always come in there, Chris Paul used to play in there. Anytime Russell Westbrook is there, anytime he's in Nola, they always play. after it's just wild.
He was there during Poker God. He wasn't at Poker God. We would have liked it if he was playing our event, but he was there playing PLO after the game. Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones. I don't know the actor's name, but I played. What's his name?
Michael Showalter.
Michael Showalter.
Learn something new every day.
But it was funny because Jamie Lannister was like there on like a 24-hour poker bench where like he just like had this window of time that he could play poker, and I guess he loves it. And I sat with him in a 1-3 game for just like anybody else. You know?
I had one night where I was playing at like 3 a.m. in a 1-3 game, and Channing Tatum, the actor who owns a bar, he owns that bar Saints and Sinners or whatever it's called. He owns a bar on Bourbon Street. And he was sitting in the game, and I'm so out of touch with pop culture, I didn't have a clue who he was. And this was right after 21 Jump Street, Magic Mike. And I got a buddy at the table texting me, "Do you believe that's Channing Tatum?" I'm like, "The hell's Channing Tatum?" You know, if you'd have told me, like, you know, it's rock and roll, you know, I guess. But anyway, the funny part of the story is we were playing a lot together, and I mean, it wasn't just that I was better than him, but I mean, I just ran real hot against him. I mean, I think I beat him out of 20 hands in a row. And he made a comment like, "Man, I mean, you're just beating me so bad. You need to teach me poker." I go, "Man, I'll teach you poker any day if you'll send me some of those women you turned out on a day-to-day basis." And it was really, really funny.
It's funny. Some of the actors, they go in there and they want to be low-key. That's the cool thing about pokers. People kind of respect their face and don't approach them. But there's a guy like Kevin Hart. When he came in, he wanted all the attention on him from the moment he walked into the poker room to the moment that he left. Loudest guy in there and just loving it. Loved interacting with everybody. Made the whole room awesome for 4 hours. You know?
Well, while we're on this topic, our buddy CA is back in the studio too and loved us. I'm going to tell my Ray Liotta Harris Knowles story real quick. I think it ties in pretty good with this Gulf Coast poker segment. So I was playing with Ray Liotta in NOLA, and I looked rough. I hadn't shaved. I think I had a tie-dye shirt on. I'd probably just like been going to see a bunch of concerts. I don't know. So every time I'd raise, we're playing 2-5, he starts calling me Skippy. Man, I've been called a lot of names in my life. I mean, I've had more nicknames than anybody ever met, but I've never heard Skippy. And he kept doing it, and I was thinking in my head, you know, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'm never going to see this guy again the rest of my life. And so the ninth time he does it, he says, "Here comes Skippy again." I stood up at the Harris Nola table, slammed my hands down the table, and said, "You really are a funny guy. Ah, the good cop theme that he did with Pesci." And the whole table lost it. He didn't think it was funny. He didn't think it was funny, but the whole table couldn't believe I did it. He ended up signing a good ball poster for me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one of the wildest ones. Yeah. That's about as good. That's the fact that... Yeah, the Ray Liotta, that and the Patrick Antonius Day 3 of the World Series Maine are my two favorite stories I've got. I ran like a 5-bet bluff on Antonius on Day 3 of the Maine.
Did you show up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Show King High.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't make ESPN, it was a crime. I mean, it was real out of hand. I'll tell that one too while we're at it.
Yes, please.
So, the 2011 Maine, Day 3. I'm doing really good. I'm going in with a lot of chips, and I'm crushing kind of a weaker table. And it's like a movie. Patrick Antonius starts walking toward my table, and he's got a bag. He's got so many chips in his bag, you can't even see the ziplock, like, part of the bag. All you see is just, and he sits down on my right. And I'm glad he's on my right, not on my left, because that helps. Story. And he comes and sits down, and man, he don't know who people are. So, man, he starts bombing every pot. You know, he don't have no respect for anybody. And I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of feeling, you know, first I'm letting him get away with it, then I'm kind of like, you know what, you know, I know what he's doing, you know, he just doesn't respect anybody. So I start re-raising him with, like, good hands and bad, a mix. And he wins 2 pots against me, I win 2 pots against him, and it sets up the ultimate one, where it was the 1,200-2,400 level, and he has 160,000, and I have 220, so we're deep for the hand. Folded to him, he's in cutoff, which is late position for those people that are listening on the air. He makes it 7,200, and I have king queen off on the button. But against him, I'm just like, man, this has a floor. So I made it 18,500, just 3-betting position. And it gets back to him, and he's seen that I was messing with him, and so he doesn't know who I am. He probably just some random online kid. He just bombed it. It's a 64K. And I sit there, and, like, he makes a 64K with 100 back. So he's trying to look committed. And he's making me make a decision for my term of life, and he's seen I was active, so he's probably thinking, yeah, this kid ain't got the heart to not stick it in here without Kings, right? So I'm about to fold. I'm like, what am I getting myself into? This is day three of the main, and Tony's the top five pro in the world. You know, there's plenty of other days to fight. And it's like, as I'm 30 seconds into my decision thinking about fold, my gut instinct goes off, and I was like, you know what? Screw this guy. He just thinks I ain't got the heart to do it. You know, he just doesn't think he can put me in that spot jam. And he folds. And he doesn't have anything. You know, he had hair. And I showed the king queen off. And, like, I mean, the table off the line. The whole rest of the day, I just ran it. Nobody wanted to mess with me. But then he gets, then somebody else busts him and gets the ESPN glory on some small 6s, 8s, 9 flip. When, yeah. You know, I want to be, like, in the middle of the night waking up, seeing that hand on ESPN the rest of my life. Yeah. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, for sure. You do every detail of line levels, everything like that. That's the funny thing about poker players is you can have a hand from 10 years ago and know exactly position, who else was at the table, all these little nuances. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's also day three of the main. I always say, you know, people in rounders, Matt Damon makes a big deal out of his Johnny Chan limit hand. I was like, that hand ain't got nothing on my day three Antonius World Series main. You know, I don't know how. That's my favorite one. That's going to be my favorite hand in history. I mean, I don't know how I'll ever really beat that one.
My favorite hand is in the main event, day two or three. And I had a hero call for my tournament life. And it took me the longest pop I ever tanked in a hand in my life. I think it was like maybe 10 minutes. I kept apologizing to the table. And, you know, it's the main event. They didn't really care.
It's 2-hour level, too, yeah. So it's not quite the same when it's 20-minute level.
I finally decided, I said, am I okay getting on the plane and going with my gut, thinking I have the best hand here, and calling on the stack for my tournament life? And called him, and the guy just sheepishly turned over rags.
I think one of the best things for it, live, this is an old Lyle Burnham saying, if you want to hunt the bear, you can't be afraid to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the greatest poker sayings ever, because, you know, you can beat a solid player in cash and tournaments and make money and stay in the game and all that. If you ever really want to truly be elite, you're going to get put in spots you can't be afraid of. And I think I can't say I'm the best at that. I've made folds and been weak and wanted to cash in several tournaments in my life. But, you know, I think that's a big part of, like, what separates people, that, you know, it's like, in order to truly win, you can't be afraid to lose.
And the fact you did it on the biggest stage, I mean, at least for me, that makes the hand even that much better. I'm sure I played other hands better and, you know, harder decisions maybe. But just under that kind of pressure is making so much sweet.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, I want to thank some of the sponsors of today's show. A couple of ones I want to mention right now. You got till 6 o'clock if you want to get your Bergeron Boudin and Cajun Meat Market orders in. They got the best ham I've ever had, turkey. You can get Cape Gumbo to your loved ones for the holidays. You can even ship it around the country. Today is the final day to place your orders in Bossier and Shreveport. Got till 6. Also, I want to thank our boy Trey Carter over at Strange Brew. If you're looking